For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me here for this Saturday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. We are a Sports Ethos presentation, of course, and I'm your host, Joe Orrico. You can find me over on Twitter at JoeOrrico99 and also at EthosFantasyBB. That's where we post all of our new podcasts, articles, news and notes, polls, every bit of baseball content. So make sure you guys are following. That's ETHOS FantasyBB. And also make sure to go to sportsethos.com and check everything out right from the source. We are going to continue breaking things down. We have a couple days worth of games now to go through. We talked about it on Thursday, some of the opening day stuff, and now we're going to kind of go through some of the other things that have happened in the last couple days. Going to go through my notes from yesterday, and we're also going to talk about players who are being added and dropped in a lot of Yahoo leagues. So let's start off by just going through yesterday's notes that I make. If you're not following me on Twitter, I recommend it. I put a lot of my work out on Twitter. A lot of my notes, a lot of threads that I do breaking down the day's games and things like we're going to talk about today, the most added and dropped players, what my thoughts are. So go follow on Twitter. You get this stuff right when it does come out. But let's talk about yesterday's games, and let's start with Nick Pivetta. My goodness, I was really, really big on Nick Pivetta this offseason. He is tied as my most drafted pitcher of the year with Zach Eflin and I think Alex Cobb. But he was just so dominant yesterday. It was great to see. Six innings pitched. He struck out 10, allowed one earned run on a J.P. Crawford homer at the end of his line in the sixth inning. Only three hits, did not walk a batter, and had a 37% CSW. This was a huge, huge test for me with Nick Pivetta, because last year he was so dominant down the stretch. He was, like I've said it a million times now, anybody else did what Nick Pivetta did in the second half, he was going to be a top 100 pick, maybe even higher. But because his name was Nick Pivetta, he's hurt us before. We didn't push him up the way we probably should have. But the early returns here are massive. It's one start. But the fact that he was able to carry over what he did in 2023, a lot of people wrote it off as a fluke and said you're never going to see him repeat that again. I know it's one start, but it's a really good sign that he was able to carry that over. So that is huge, huge, huge stuff. You might have gotten an ace past pick 150, which it looks like you might have at this point. It's too early to say for sure. But Nick Pivetta's first start was excellent. On the other side of that start was George Kirby, who ended up getting the win. George Kirby made me shit my pants in the first inning of this game, seeing that he not only walked one batter in the first, but he walked two batters in the first. It might sound like I'm overreacting. George Kirby walked 19 batters in 190 innings last season. He already had more than 10% of his total output from 2023 in the first three batters of the season. So I'm sitting on the couch last night watching this, ready to shit myself. And then, of course, George Kirby settled in. 6 2/3, two hits, eight strikeouts. Those two walks were, thankfully, the only walks that he allowed. So there's no need to worry here. I would be very surprised if there's another game this year where Kirby does have two walks. If he does start doing that consistently, that would be really, really bad for his value. That's where a huge, huge portion of it comes from, is the command. He's not an overpowering pitcher. The strikeout rate is not going to be in the 30% range. He lives and dies by the command. So if that's something that is going to be not as consistent, then I'm going to be a little bit worried. But I'm not going to start to worry so much after just that first start. It's not great, but I'm not overly concerned about it either. The rest of the start was fantastic. So I'm really nitpicking, but it's just very shocking to see George Kirby walk two batters in the first inning. Like I said, 19 walks all of last season, so it's not exactly standard for him. Sean Murphy had to leave early with an oblique injury, and it's been announced that he'll be hitting the IL. The IL is filled in all of my leagues at this point where I have them. The injuries are really starting to pile up, and it is not even April, but Sean Murphy is the latest casualty. He's going to be hitting the IL, and Travis d'Arnaud is the obvious replacement. Travis d'Arnaud already was kind of interesting in two catcher leagues, 15-team two-catcher leagues. you could argue that he was kind of worth one of those last spots if you were punting the spot. And now it looks like he's a very obvious pickup in a lot of cases. If you're in a 15-team, two-catcher league, specifically if you lost Sean Murphy, he's the clear pickup. But honestly, even in one-catcher leagues, I could make the argument if it's like a 15-teamer. If you lost Sean Murphy in a 12-teamer and you want to make the direct switch for Darnold, I have no problem. Like, Darnold, yeah, a piece of that lineup, I don't know if you can even quantify how valuable it is to have a piece of the Braves lineup. Doesn't have to be at the top of the order, but even in the bottom third, getting anybody who's going to be getting regular at bats surrounded by that studly offense, you're going to want a piece of it. So Travis Darnold, I think, does make sense as a pickup in a lot of cases here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. gotten off to a red-hot start, homered in each of the first two games, scored four, and he's driven in six. At the time of writing this last night, he was on 69% of Yahoo rosters. Let me see if that's jumped up at all today. 72%, so he's a couple more percent points up. He shouldn't be available anywhere, though. You got a guy hitting in the heart of a very good lineup. That's all that it really comes down to. He should be universally rostered. He started off great. Is he going to continue at this pace? No, he's not going to hit 162 homers. But I think that what he gives you is well worthy of being rostered in every league, 10 teams and deeper. JD Davis hit two home runs. This was kind of crazy. JD Davis had a very good year last year for deeper league players. For most of you guys in your 12-teamers, you're probably thinking, JD Davis, I don't give a shit about JD Davis. What did he do? But there was, you know, good stretches of last season where he was very, very usable. 18 homers, he had 69 ribbies, batted 250, stole a base. Wasn't bad at all. Now he has a pretty regular role in Oakland's lineup. He's somebody that projects to play against lefties, against righties. He'll have an everyday job. So while I don't think that he is a shallow league pickup, you can ignore this if you're playing in a 10 or a 12-team league, but a very, very strong add in deeper leagues. He's going to play every single day, and that's all that really matters. He's got a 114 career WRC+. We're not looking for a hell of a lot here, especially in deeper leagues. You're looking for consistent playing time, and he is going to have that. And also, the talent's not terrible. It's not consistent playing time for, like, an awful player. He is, you know, pretty talented. He puts up some decent fantasy lines. So in deeper leagues, JD Davis, I think, makes a lot of sense. Let's talk Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller had maybe the best start that I've seen for the first couple days of the season here. Six innings pitched. He did not allow a run, gave up two hits and one walk, struck out 11. I had Bobby Miller at number 19 in my starting pitcher rankings. I somehow failed to get even one share across my four-team leagues, and I feel like an absolute idiot because of it. He's a stud. I wonder what would have happened if he had pitched this kind of line in Korea last week. Like, let's say it wasn't Yamamoto and it was Bobby Miller who pitched and he did this. His draft price would have been obscene because we saw the way that people overreacted to Yamamoto and everybody in that series, right? Cronenworth gets pushed up, Daniel Hudson gets pushed up, Yamamoto pushed down, whatever. Like, people overreact. If Bobby Miller had done this, I don't even want to know how expensive he would have been. Like, in main events, in high-stakes drafts in that last week, he would have been, like, a third-rounder, maybe even a second-rounder, honestly. The way people get out of hand with stuff, you see 11 strikeouts, you see that great outing. It wouldn't have shocked me if we had seen this a week ago to see him get pushed into the second or third round. But it looks like the returns are going to be pretty damn good. And honestly, if Bobby Miller's the best pitcher in Los Angeles this year, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Let's talk Oswaldo Cabrera. Red hot through the first two games of the season. He's 6-for-9. He's gone yard. He's driven in four runs. I think in most leagues, he makes sense to add, especially in daily changes leagues. He has second, third, short, and outfield eligibility on Yahoo. Projects pretty friendly in terms of power speed. Minor league numbers were fairly solid. And he's in a pretty good lineup. You know, they're just dealing with a Gleyber Torres injury now, so that's going to open up a little bit more playing time for everybody. I'm not sure how it's going to exactly work out, but I think Cabrera has a pretty safe role for now, and I think that he does make sense, especially in daily change leagues where you can stick him in wherever. Second, third, short, and outfield. Four positions of eligibility is just massive. So I do think that he is a deeper league guy to take a look at right now. Kyle Harrison, this was great stuff. I've drafted a lot of Kyle Harrison this year. Six innings pitched, two earned runs, struck out five, no walks, and a 30% CSW. He's still available in some leagues. He's like 72, 73% rostered in Yahoo leagues. I would be picking him up if you can. Just remember to sit him next week against the Dodgers because that's not a matchup you're going to want. But I think Kyle Harrison is pretty close to a must-roster player. He's already on most rosters. He's like 75% on Yahoo, but he was really good last year. I know he was lucky, and there's, you know, small sample size, whatever, noise. But he's coming from a place of a pretty decent prospect pedigree. I think the strikeout upside is there. The defense is very much improved in San Francisco now. So I think that he is somebody that should be universally rostered at this point. There's no reason to see him floating on any waiver wires as far as I see it. Carlos Rodon, let's talk about him because we have to. 4 1/3, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts. Not bad, but then 3 walks and a 20% CSW. It's a tough matchup. He was facing the Astros. But either way, this is really not ideal stuff. I have no idea how to evaluate Carlos Rodon anymore. The early returns in spring where Lavelo is up to 97 and he looks great. It hasn't been able to get back there. He's not missing a lot of bats. I'm not fully like out on him or anything like that. Like, I've drafted a good amount of him. I wouldn't be panic dropping, anything like that. But the thoughts of he's going to be his old self this year, they're slowly fading away from my head. It's very hard to believe that Carlos Rodon is going to get back to that sub-3 ERA, 200-plus strikeout, Cy Young candidate type. He might, but there's not a lot of reason to really think so at this point. It is looking pretty rough. The result, like 1 earned run, whatever, it's not bad. But those 3 walks, the fact that he's not hitting those same heights velocity-wise as he was, I think that's a bit of a problem. And I don't think that he's somebody where, like, I'm not dropping him, but he's also not like a go out and buy low on Carlos Rodon type either. I think there's a lot of worry I have there personally. Let's talk about Adam Duvall a little bit. He came into pinch hit yesterday, 2-run double, came into pinch hit for Jared Kelenic in the 7th inning. I think there's a pretty decent chance that Adam Duvall ends up as a maybe not a full-time player, but a fairly full-time player playing left field for the Braves. We're only a couple years out from him going 38 homers, 113 ribbies, leading the league in ribbies, and part of the year was spent in Atlanta. He was traded from the Marlins to the Braves midseason, but he's shown us what he can do in this lineup. I think he is probably, I don't even think it's much of a hot take to say, he's a better baseball player than Jared Kelenic. I bought into Kelenic a little bit, a couple shares. I got him in my auction. I think it was $10, which looks not great right now, but I think that Duvall is the guy that is probably going to take over this role at some point. I don't know that it's going to happen in the next week or the next 2 weeks, but it would be very surprising to me if Adam Duvall does not end up with this job full-time by midsummer. And we know what he's capable of. He's only on like 5% of Yahoo rosters. So I think in daily change leagues, he makes a lot of sense. It's a little bit trickier if you're in a weekly 10-team league, weekly 12-team league, to actually slot him in there because you don't really know. But if it's a daily league and you know Duvall's starting today, whatever it is, 2-3 times a week, for now, I think that that really makes sense with the potential that this is going to be something that really, really breaks out over time. And breakout might not be the right word at his age, but it's still kind of a breakout. Like, if he's able to get full-time playing time, I drafted him with a lot of my last-round picks this year, even before he was signed, just like, it's Adam Duvall. You know, I could have taken that chance on Brandon Belt or somebody, and it wouldn't have looked as good. But it's still very early. We don't know what's going to happen. This is kind of all just speculation and conjecture. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if Adam Duvall ends up with 20-plus homers, you know, 70-plus RBI, and ends up as kind of a regular in that lineup as well. Let's go through the Yahoo most added and dropped players and just talk about what these roster turnovers are looking like today. We mentioned Oswaldo Cabrera. He's been added in more than 12,000 Yahoo leagues today. He's up to 20% rostered. It makes sense. We already talked about him. Jason Foley is another guy being added. He's up to 31%. He got the first save for the Tigers. We mentioned this on Thursday's show. I think it makes sense to add him. I'm not really sure what the hell's going on, honestly. Like, you can drop Alex Lang, but then it might just be Alex Lang getting the next save opportunity. So I think if you can afford to add Foley without dropping Lang, that's probably the best case. Like, if you have an injured guy that you can stick on the IL, or there's somebody that you're just like totally done with, all right. I know there's not many players you'd be totally done with, but, you know, end of your bench, last round type of guy, that's where I'd be looking. Like, dropping Lang, I think you could maybe justify it, because you're not talking about an elite closer here to begin with. Alex Lang is somebody that we were kind of punting in terms of the save position if you ended up with Alex Lang, the closer position, not the save position, the save category. If you ended up with Alex Lang, he's likely as your third or fourth closer, or you punted and he's your second. But I don't think that he's somebody that necessarily needs to be dropped. I just don't really know what the hell they're going to do in Detroit. We didn't think it was going to be Foley. He came out, he looked great. But I think the ideal situation would be if you can add Foley and not drop Lang and just kind of see how it plays out, because I really don't know what they are going to be doing here. It's kind of confusing. But let's talk about another situation that's going to be a little bit confusing as well, and this is Milwaukee. So Abner Uribe got the save opportunity coming in after Trevor Megill worked the seventh, and then Joel Piamps worked the eighth inning. So Abner Uribe gets the ninth. I think that he's probably going to be the guy getting the chances, but honestly, this is another situation, and I mentioned this in the preseason. When we did our preview episode, our reliever preview with Greg Jewett a couple weeks ago, we kind of agreed that this is a situation where, unless you're very desperate, just avoid it. Like, it's probably going to be some kind of committee where it's going to be some for Megill, some for Piamp, some for Uribe, maybe some for somebody we haven't even thought of yet. And it's not going to be a situation where one guy ends up with 25-plus saves. It's going to be a headache. It's going to be a situation where, oh, I'm adding Uribe, he got a save this week. Oh, but Megill got the save, so now I'll switch it out and I'll add, you know. And then, oh, no, it's Piamps. And it's like, do you really want to be doing this to yourself, spending your waiver priority or your fab money on a revolving door of closers for a team that's pretty good but not great? I think you could probably spend your time doing something better. Unless you're in a situation where you are desperate. You drafted Devin Williams and Juwan Duran, and you're just like, shit, I need to just take a chance on whoever comes up right now, any closers potentially, then okay. Then Uribe's probably the ad just based on the early usage. But I think in a perfect world, you're kind of just avoiding this situation altogether. A couple guys being added today as kind of streamers, kind of people just, more interested. Jordan Hicks and Luis Severino are the two main starters being added today. I'm out on both of them. Luis Severino has already given up a couple runs in the first couple of innings. I've been out on him all offseason. Not somebody that I was ever interested in. It's just been too long since he's been productive. Like, too many injuries, too long since we've actually seen a great season from him. Going across town to the Mets, I don't think that really mattered as much as people thought it did. It's still very early, but I've been fully out on Severino. He's 60% rostered. 60% rostered just seems absolutely absurd. I'm not interested at all. No interest, like zero interest in Severino outside of very deep leagues. Jordan Hicks, I've talked about him a lot. I think that he is a bullpen arm in disguise, and he'll end up back in the pen. It might not be tomorrow, it might not be next week, but I think Jordan Hicks is going to be somebody that ends up as a bullpen arm. That's what he has thrived in for his career as a starter. He has not had a lot of success. Everybody points to the spring start where he had no hit, or he didn't allow any hits. He struck out 10 versus Oakland. Versus the A's in spring training, and then we've read so much into this. I don't know, guys. It's like you're facing the AAA team in spring training already. So you're like a double-A team you're facing here. People read a lot into that. He's jumped up to 54% rostered. I just don't see the interest with Jordan Hicks. For me personally, I'm just avoiding him. Gary Crochet, we've talked about him a lot. He is a must-add player. If you're still seeing him out there, 41%, I would go ahead and do that now. Jake Cronenworth is still being added up as well. I mean, pretty solid returns for his first few games. He has 6 ribbies already. He's scored a couple runs, batting 400. I think he's worth a shot. First and second base eligibility is pretty nice. You got the corner, you got the middle if you need it for roto-style lineups. You're batting third against righties, sandwiched between Tatis and Machado. I think you could do a lot worse if you're in need of a little bit of infield help than Jake Cronenworth.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's kind of it for the main ads. There are some leagues adding Matt Chapman because he hit 2 home runs yesterday. Most competitive leagues, he's already rostered, but the 2 home runs is going to lead people to add him. It's craziness. Like, this time of year, I never understand the way it works. Like, Matt Chapman, he's the type of player where your analysis shouldn't really change so much based on anything that happens in the first week or so. Same with Gurriel. Like, he was a must-roster player for me last week. He hits a couple home runs. It's like, yeah, he's still a must-roster player. Nothing really changes there. But I think a lot of people see these little things happen in the first week. Oh, he hit a home run. I got to add him. It's like, most of the time, you really don't. Matt Chapman, two home runs. If you didn't like him before the two home runs, you shouldn't like him after it. It's very fluky stuff. Take it from me as a Blue Jay fan who watched what he did in April last year, and we're having conversations about, is he going to be an MVP candidate? Oh, man. That's the nature of April stats. They can really be deceiving. Let's talk about some of the drops today. AJ Puck at the top of the list. More than 5,000 leagues have dropped AJ Puck. This is a mistake, I think. Yeah, he was absolutely dreadful. Like, it was tough to watch. I watched some of this start. I was, you know, going back and forth between a few games. But AJ Puck walked six batters last night. Two-plus innings, gave up three hits, four runs. The ERA is at 18, and the whip was 4.5 for yesterday's game. Really awful stuff. But I'm not dropping him yet. He's facing the Angels next time out. It's a much, not much, but it's a better situation for him. Another start in, like, we're talking about a converted reliever. There's going to be nerves. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on mentally. First start of the year, like, yeah, you can make the argument, like, oh, look at Garrett Crochet. Well, that's kind of the anomaly. Most people do not convert from a reliever to a starter, come out in their first game, opening day, and just shove. AJ Puck's result should be kind of expected and not something that we should really read too much into. He gets the Angels next time out, which is a great, great opportunity for him to get back on track. And I think people who are dropping him are going to be kind of disappointed. I think this is a situation where things will get better. He was good in spring. He's a very talented pitcher. If you look below the surface, the numbers are very good, and he does project as somebody who could convert from a reliever to a starter. Not easily, because it's not easy to do, but he could do it. So I think giving up after one start is really premature, and he's not somebody that I would be giving up on unless you're, like, in a 10-team league, maybe. But even then, I think I would still hold on to AJ Puck. Logan Allen's being dropped after he was picked up as a streamer yesterday. He was our top-recommended streamer for Friday's games, and he went five innings, got the win, three strikeouts, gave up three earned runs. It was fine. He's somebody I think is generally a streamer in 10 or 12-team leagues. He did have a 3.81 ERA over 125 innings last year. It did come with a 1.4 whip, not a lot of wins, not a lot of strikeouts. So I do think that Logan Allen functions more as a streamer, and I have no problem with sending him back to the wire today. Same thing with Martin Perez. He was my second recommended streamer for Friday, and I was kind of upset that he didn't get to the five-inning mark and get the victory. But 4 1/3, he got a couple strikeouts, 2.08 ERA. The whip was a little high at 2.08 as well. He did have three walks and allowed six hits, so that's not great, but overall, it was a fine start. You send him back to the waiver wire. That's all good. That's all good and fine. This is an interesting one. Victor Scott is already being given up on. He's already getting sent back to the waiver wire. How quickly we turn our opinions on players. One over. He has one over four, and he gets dropped by what is the exact number? We are looking at 1,389 teams have cut him. 1,548 teams have added him, so just as many people are interested in Scott as they are not interested. He's at 45% rostered. Again, you shouldn't really be changing your opinion on a guy like Victor Scott based on one offer. What is different than the day before when you were adding him? He didn't steal a base that day? Were you expecting stolen bases every single day of the year? He's not Vince Coleman. He's not Ricky Henderson. As much as he might be close, he's not going to steal 100-plus bases. It's just not going to happen. So there's going to be days where there's no steals, days where there's no hits. This is elementary stuff, but people are overreacting and dropping him. If you added Victor Scott or you drafted him, and you're giving up after seven at-bats, I question what the hell you're doing. Like, what are we talking about here? If you took the chance on him, unless you're dropping him for some sure thing, which there's really not massive sure things on the waiver wire right now. Garrett Crochet is a nice ad. A couple of these closers, Foley, you know, Uribe, whatever. But there's no, like, oh, you need to add this guy. He's a must, like, amazing offensive talent. Like, what? Like, it's mostly pitcher stuff going on. So to drop Victor Scott, I think, is really premature. I think it's ridiculous, honestly. And if he's sitting on waiver wires in most leagues, going at him, especially daily changes. Like, I think that he is somebody where we're maybe overvaluing him and undervaluing him at the same time. People don't really know what to make of him. Is he going to have a regular role once the Cardinals are healthy? Likely not. But you bank those steals while you can. You bank the production you can while he's healthy and up. And then you move on later. But now he's getting at bats. He was in the lineup on both days, first two games of the season. There's a lot of good players we cannot say that about, that they were in the lineup for the first two games of the season for their team. Bo Naylor, and, you know, I could go through a bunch of examples. He was in the lineup both days. So I think it's very premature to be cutting Victor Scott. If he's out there, I have no problem with adding him. Jose Quintana has been getting dropped, which is fine. He's more of a streaming type in right matchups, not somebody that 10-team or 12-team players are really going to have to put much notice into this year. Sean Murphy's getting dropped. I think this is kind of premature again. Like, IL is what you should be doing. If you don't have an IL spot, I think you're probably still holding. It's a 10-day IL. It's not expected to be a massive amount of time that he's missing with the oblique. Obliques can be tricky. It could end up being like a month, but I think it's crazy to drop him right now, especially if you have an IL spot. More than 1,000 teams have dropped him. IL him if you can. Same thing with Matt McLain. People are dropping Matt McLain. He was transferred to the 60-day IL on Thursday, which is not ideal, but that's more of a roster thing. We knew he was going to miss that time anyway. He's going to be out for a couple months. If you can afford to hold him, if you have the free space right now, then hold him. There will probably come a chance where Matt McLain has to be sent back to the waiver wire because of the nature of injuries. You're going to have four or five guys hurt, and you're going to have to give up on one of them, and it's probably going to be the guy with, you know, the longest timeline. But that being said, for right now, unless you are so desperate for IL space, and most people aren't super desperate, you probably have one or two injured guys, but you're not like four, five, six guys injured, I hope, you can probably be afford to just be stashing him on the waiver wire. I would not be dropping him, or excuse me, stash him on the IL, not dropping him on the waiver wire. misspoke there. The last player we'll talk about who's being dropped, and I think it's kind of premature, is Jose Alvarado. I did not like what I saw yesterday, one bit, against Atlanta. He was awful. He gave up 5 runs on 3 hits, walked a couple. It was garbage. It was terrible stuff. From him and Matt Strom, both, two guys that I love, just a terrible, terrible start to the year. But to drop a guy who is still likely to get the lion's share of the saves, after one bad outing, we're talking 750 teams have dropped him. Really reactionary stuff. It's just crazy to me that you're already giving up on a guy with that kind of talent after one bad outing. Jose Alvarado, last year in 41 innings, 64 strikeouts, he had 10 saves, 1.74 ERA. The talent is immense. I think that he's probably going to have the lion's share of the saves still, so just hold on and do not be panic dropping a lot of players. Like most players right now, if you're drafting them in the first 10 rounds, 15 rounds, all of them really, they're not drops. They're just not. You're dropping guys who are like your last round pick, last 2 rounds. You know, a guy like Alvarado, McLain, Murphy, unless you're super, super, super desperate, you got to be holding on to these guys. But that'll do it. That will do it for us. We were going to be doing this kind of format fairly regularly, just going through my notes, the most added and dropped players, just giving my advice on what I am seeing around baseball. If you're interested in seeing these as they come out on Twitter in written form, go follow me at JoeOrico99 and go check out Ethos Fantasy BB as well for all new updates on content, written work, podcasts, blurbs, everything. You will get updated over at Ethos Fantasy BB. Guys, we'll be back on Monday to talk about the rest of the weekend slate. But until then, take care and have a great weekend.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.